You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate. Concern that a key source of money for Africa hurt the fight against Ebola.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and the Economy from Washington today. Researchers from Cambridge and Oxford Universities, plus the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, say there is evidence that International Monetary Fund policies meant some West African countries underfunded their healthcare systems. This, in turn, may have hurt the fight against the deadly Ebola outbreak. Joining us from London is BBC Business reporter Theo Leggett. Good morning, Theo.
Good morning, David.
Help me a bit with the logic here. In the minds of critics, the International Monetary Fund equals austerity. And I guess sometimes austerity means less government funding for things like health services, right?
They're pointing out that the three countries which have been worst affected by the Ebola outbreak, which are Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone, have all been in IMF programs for quite a few years. Cash from the IMF comes with strings attached. Governments receiving money have to adopt specific economic priorities. The researchers argue that this means that money that could be better spent on health actually gets channeled elsewhere. And so when you get a crisis like the Ebola outbreak, there aren't enough people there to deal with it.
Now, the researchers here presumably would like to see some systemic change here, but any immediate response from the International Monetary Fund?
Yeah, they've come out quite emphatically rejecting these criticisms and saying that policies to support growth and health aren't mutually exclusive. Growth creates the room for higher health spending because if you increase the size of the cake, there's more to go around. And it says, incidentally, as well, that in all three of the countries mentioned here, spending on health as a share of GDP increased over the 5 years to 2013. And even the authors of this report point out that over the past few months, the IMF has actually announced an extra $430 million of funding to fight Ebola. They just say that if we hadn't had such severe austerity policies, the crisis might not have reached this level.
The BBC's Theo Leggett in London, thank you for this.
Thank you, David.
In the U.S., Michigan has just put a new issue on the ballot for next year, raising its gasoline taxes. With gas prices low, this is an interesting moment for many states that need the money to fix crumbling roads and bridges. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports.
Even before gas prices fell, states have been hiking taxes. Last year, red state Wyoming and five others did. And this year, a few more, including New Hampshire. Really. States need the money. And Norton Francis at the Urban Institute expects this to continue.
There's a little more room to maybe propose increases in the gas tax because the price has gone down so far. But it really takes political will and leadership to tie the gas tax to infrastructure spending.
Federal money is drying up, and more fuel-sipping cars means we're buying less gas to tax. That's the urgency, says Carl Davis of the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy, a research group.
When we see pretty fiscally conservative governors in states like New Jersey and Wisconsin either openly talking about gas tax reforms or at least not ruling it out right away, that says a lot about how serious this issue is.
Now, of course, there will be serious opposition. We are talking taxes. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is up 0.7%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.3% range. Oil is up for the second trading day in a row, though less than $58 buys you still a barrel of crude oil in Texas. Hi, this is David Brancaccio, host of the Marketplace Morning Report. Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that could not have happened without support from listeners like you. So please, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift, really in any amount, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. To mark Marketplace's 25th anniversary this year, we've been looking at some of the surprising ways prices have changed over the last quarter century. When it comes to health insurance premiums, many of us spend a whole lot more, inflation adjusted, on health care these days. But a key question is, how much value do we actually get for that money compared to a quarter century ago? Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein has this report from our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia.
The numbers are striking. In 1996, that's the closest we could get to 1989 data, the average family premium ran just shy of $5,000. Adjusted for inflation, that's about $7,500. Healthcare premiums have gone up way faster than that, to a little more than $16,000 for a family as of last year. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation's Kathy Hempstead says part of the reason prices have tripled is because healthcare is more powerful.
There are more treatments, there are more medications, there's more kind of therapies. There's just more kinds of healthcare services that can be applied to any particular clinical situation.
But in healthcare, we're all learning more is not necessarily better. It's just more, often more money. Harvard economist David Cutler says there's nothing wrong with spending a lot of money on healthcare as long as you're getting what you pay for.
People want longer life. They want healthier life. The unfortunate truth is that we're spending a lot that's not contributing to that.
When Cutler says a lot, he's not playing around. Many economists, including Cutler, say as much as $1 trillion of all healthcare spending a year is wasteful. That's about a third. But when it comes to premiums, which third are we talking about? That is a hard question.
Healthcare is probably unique in that it is so difficult to tell whether something is worth it or not.
One thing we do know is as premiums have climbed, people have paid more out of pocket. Ironically, Kathy Hempstead of Robert Wood Johnson says high prices should help make sure we're getting a better deal.
One of the things that does is it makes consumers look for value, you know, and to get providers to be as efficient as they can be and try to provide a lower cost service.
Federal health officials say in the last 5 years, premium prices continue to rise, but at about half the rate they were previously. No one knows for sure what's behind that, but pretty much everyone agrees when the first few $1,000s of healthcare comes out of our wallets, we're going to do a better job making sure it's not for nothing. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And China's stock market has been roaring along in recent weeks, but could there be a financial scandal brewing? The key stock index in Hong Kong went up 1.25% today to a new three-year high. The CSI 300 in Shanghai went up 1/3%, even as Chinese authorities are looking into possible stock market manipulation. The Wall Street Journal today says regulators are checking to see if groups of investors are working together to pump up the prices of a handful of stocks. This is illegal in China and used to be all the rage when China's stock market was just taking wing a decade ago. In Washington today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.